Last week, we kicked off a new sermon series. It's talking about balance and how to have biblical balance. This life throws a lot at us, and with schedules and with all the things that we feel like we need to do and all the things we feel like we need to get involved with, get our kids involved with, grandkids involved with, and be supportive of everybody involved. And it's just hard to schedule and hard to kind of sometimes keep your sanity. And sometimes we feel like we're not accomplishing anything and we're not doing what we were meant to do, created to do. And it's easy to get there. And the devil is, he's pretty smart, and he just needs to get us comfortable and busy. And if you're comfortable and busy, boy, you're ripe for a place to where you're not involved and you get on autopilot, set the cruise control, and things can just kind of roll. And before long, you feel like you're losing control. And last week, we talked about the basics of balance that the Bible presents. If you didn't get a chance to be with us last week, you can look us up on our website and download that. This week, we're going to move forward, and we're going to talk about something that kind of hits most of us, and this is maintaining emotional balance, okay? And anytime you're talking about emotions in church and emotions in religion and stuff, the message has to be balanced, because so much of what we do here raises an emotional response from us. In fact, if you're honest, when you came forward and accepted Jesus Christ, that was one of the most emotional experiences in your life. Okay? But here's the thing. With spiritual maturity, there has to be this place to where emotions do not dictate who we are or how we respond or how we act or react in certain and all situations. Okay? So the Bible speaks to this, and it presents a plan about how we can go through this life and we're not dead wood that never responds positively or negatively to anything. We just give it the straight face. And then we're not someone who is insane and always happy. You know that person? Okay. And we're not Dr. Doom, who is always raining on the parade and pulling out the negative, okay? So there's a balance that has to happen. And there's a balance that has to happen inside of us. Because here's the thing. Our emotions are built inside of us. They were put inside of us by God Himself. So He expects us to react in an emotional way. But here's the other thing. Our bodies are subject to the downfall of sin, and therefore our emotions are going to be subject to the downfall of sin. And how we allow our emotions to control us in certain situations can be destructive. And it's because of the destructive nature of sin inside of our bodies. So the Bible presents some knowledge and some wisdom on how to live to get that balance with our emotions. So let's look at it. Let's look at the emotional battle of emotions. Because sometimes, man, there's things going on inside of us, and you know, the chemistry gets off, and we get in a bad mood, and things, we start digging up things from the past and start pondering all the negative, and it can really drive you down and get you in a bad place, and it can get you in an angry place, and you can lash out at people and not really mean to do that, but it can drive us to do certain things. And then in some days, we just don't feel anything, and we wonder if we're still human or still alive. And then just the emotional roller coaster of our day-to-day life. And it is a battle, all right? So let's look at the emotional battle of emotions. James tells us that every man should be swift to hear and listen and to understand, and slow to speak or slow to react, and slow to let their emotions dictate how they react. And this, it brings out specifically wrath, which is, you know, a form of rage. And it says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So let's just lay it out, the state the obvious, okay? Sometimes you think, well, you're stating the obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be stated, okay? And here's the deal, is that if you're in a bad mood and your temper is always being triggered and you're always lashing out at people, this will not produce the righteousness of God in your life and those who are associated with you. That's just the bottom line. So if you're someone who is enraged all the time, that's not a healthy place to be. And you are subject in a negative way to your emotions. Now you think, well, that doesn't have to be stated, but it's like the guy who says, the family, everybody has to live around one certain person in the family, decide on what kind of mood they're in before you can roll on with life and all that. And if you're saying, well, we don't have that in our family, you're probably the person, okay? And that's the way. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, nobody ever reacts in rage, you might be subject to your rage, okay? That's the way that that goes down, all right? So sometimes you just have to state the obvious, but if you're someone who is enraged all the time, that's not healthy, all right? Matthew tells us that when he had been baptized, this is Jesus Christ, this is him starting his ministry, okay? And this is a wonderful scene. This is a magnificent scene. This is a scene where the Holy Trinity is there in completion all in one setting. This is Matthew 3 all the way to chapter 4, 1. And it says that when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water. And behold, the heavens opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And it landed on him. And suddenly there was a voice that came down from heaven. And it said, "This is my beloved Son. This is God the Father speaking, in whom I am well pleased." So this is a magnificent event. It is a spiritual high. And many of you know that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're down on the altar or wherever you are where you met Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a very spiritual event. It's a spiritual high. And sometimes when we get into things with religion, we get forgiven or we make a relationship right or we feel like God has lifted some burdens off of us or we get some good news about something that we were worried about or something works out. We get into a position where we are spiritually high. And I just always try to warn you that when you get to a position of spiritual high, that Jesus set forth the example that that is probably when the devil is going to lash out the hardest at you and try to bring you into temptation and into trials and tribulations. Because what he wants you to do is to say, well, that all that failed me. And it let me down. And we say that because of the emotional impact inside of our bodies. It is a letdown because we've gone from a real high emotional high down to a, oh no, what's going on here? And Jesus brings forth this example and lives it. Because right when he comes out of the water after being baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down on him. And God the Father says, "This is my Son who I'm very well pleased with." It says, then Jesus was led. And who led him there? The Spirit, who is always acting on behalf of God the Father, into the wilderness. And why was he taken there? To be tempted by the devil. This is the perfect example of why you have to be protective when you're on a spiritual high. And you can't live on the spiritual high because you will crash and you will crash hard. And then we move on. Psalms lays it out. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew my spirit within me. Do not cast me away." Okay, this is written by David. This is after he had been in a very negative position with his son, Absalom, and all that going on. And this is his prayer. And this is when he has finished the mourning period. And he says, "Do not cast me away from your presence." Okay? "And do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Now here's really impactful. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Now what's being said here? When we hit the bottom and when we crash and when things aren't going our ways and we're in a place that we never thought we could get any lower than we are and we are as low as we've ever been, then it is appropriate and it is good to pray to the Lord to remind me the joy of my salvation. Lift my spirits up. Don't leave me. Don't take your presence away from me. Don't pull your Holy Spirit from me. Allow me to feel the Holy Spirit. Remind me the joy that existed inside of me, the emotional high when I received salvation from you. A regeneration. You understand what I'm saying? The emotional high happens when we're regenerated because we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then after a while, we get numb to it sometimes as we live. And then when bad experiences hits us and pounds us into the ground, we get to the place very low. And what David is praying is, bring me back the joy I had when I initially found Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay? And that's what he's saying here. So we see here that there is just a whole realm of emotions and emotional responses here. And so many times what happens in life is that we make critical, life-altering decisions on gut feeling. Okay? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to make any decisions on my gut. My gut has been wrong so many times in this life, all right? But here's the other thing. Also within our heart. So what's that saying? So many times we've made decisions that impact our lives, our family's lives, and we're all doing it according to how we feel deep inside. And here is what the Bible is saying. It's saying that the heart is deceitful. The heart can be lied to. The heart can be led astray. Okay? And it can be done in a desperately wicked way. In fact, it says, who can know what the heart really means? Sometimes we're confused by our own heart. And we've been in positions to where we feel a whole bunch of emotions going on. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do? You're asking yourself, what are you going to do? And we don't know. Because we're so confused by the feelings inside of us. And then Proverbs says, he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Because you will be led astray by the emotional reaction inside your body that you determine what it's telling you to do. But it says, whoever walks wisely will be delivered. All right? So, the Bible brings out a whole bunch of instructions and warnings about the total spectrum of our emotions. And basically, here's what it's saying, is that if you're constantly angry, that's a bad thing. That's not a sign of a spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy person. And on the other realm, if you are living on a high and you need that high all the time, then you are what we call a spiritual addict. The same thing as all the other addicts going on in this world. You crave the high. And what we need to do is come to a place where we're in the middle, balancing all the good things in life and all the bad things in life, and we do it in a way to where we can make decisions and live this life in a spiritually mature way, devoid of all the emotional impacts on our lives and our bodies that make us make bad decisions and react in a bad way. Now, does that mean pray to be removed of all your emotions? No. But what we need to do is pray to have emotional balance in our lives. All right? So let's look at what is the error in emotional imbalance. Okay? 2 Corinthians, this is Paul writing. He says in the 11th chapter, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Okay? And this is, he's just writing here about, he's been almost bragging a little bit. And then he says, if indeed you do bear with me. And then this is important here. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. All right? So what's that mean? He is protective. He's writing to people that he is protective. So here's what we need to come away with, what follows after this sentence. And here's what the message is. I sincerely love you, care for you. And what I'm writing to you after this little words here is that this is very important wisdom that I'm delivering to you, and I'm doing it because I care and love for you. And he says here that, for I betrothed you to one husband. So you were taught one spirit, one salvation, one God, one Christ. That's what he's saying right there. And that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, pure in your belief who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you. That's what he's saying here, okay? Is that we have presented you a pure gospel. It's undefiled of any of the outside impacts or influences. It is strictly a perfect doctrine of Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross for you to give you salvation. In order to get this salvation and get to heaven, you have to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice at Calvary and believe that he arose on the third day because he is God. And no one can get to heaven or to God the Father except through accepting Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. That's the doctrine that Paul had preached. It was a perfect doctrine. But he had a fear, and this is the fear, that just like the serpent, the devil, was able to lie to Eve and do it in an emotional way that impact her and brought her away from what God had taught her was proper, her mind was corrupted, and what he is saying is that he is afraid that we are victims to mind corruption, because we can easily leave the simplicity of Jesus Christ in his message. All right? For if he who comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, so this is a wrong doctrine. It is not a healthy doctrine. It is not a right doctrine. And if this person could come and preach a doctrine, and they could do it, and do it in an emotional way with great big verbiage and to rile up our instincts and all of our emotions inside of us and do it in a way that would bring us together, either if we come together for one cause or against a cause or whatever, all right? This is a spirit that you have not received in the past, but it is a different gospel. And his fear was that we would put up with it. And what that would mean is that we may not accept it wholly, but we would accept it in such a way that we would allow it to linger and live amongst us. Always riling up our emotions in a way that allows that influence or that person to always be amongst us, causing trouble. And that was his fear. That was what he was preaching to these people. Is keep your doctrine so clean that those who come with great words and great speeches and riling up our emotions will have no impact on you. Because if you allow yourself to be victim to your emotions, then you can become subject to someone who can rile up your emotions. So, now that we know that we are victims to our emotions and that we are victims to those who can control and rev up our emotions, now what do we do about it? How do we live a life to where we have emotional balance? Because I'm here to tell you that emotional balance is a very, very big part of sanctification. And again, for our learning purposes, once you become a Christian, we believe that you're regenerated. You are made a new creature. And at that very second, you receive the Holy Spirit. Not later on down the road. At that very second, you receive the Holy Spirit, okay? And then you are regenerated. You are justified, which means you are deemed not guilty. You are sanctified, which means that you are made saint-like, put back in your original proper place. And then that is a progressive process throughout the rest of your life, called sanctification, to where we become more and more and more mature as we live through the trials and tribulations of this life. Okay? So what I'm telling you is that if you are interested in moving through the process of sanctification, becoming more and more mature, spiritually mature, emotionally mature, physically mature, Where you react in a better way, healthy. We talked about last week how if you get balance in your life, your body will actually respond in a healthy way. The Bible says that, okay? So what we're saying here is that if you can conquer the emotional imbalance in your life, you will bust through and make a big improvement in your spiritual maturity. That will drastically impact your life, the way that you live and react to people. I can't overemphasize that if you get a hold of your emotions, you will move through spiritual maturity and you will get to a place that will drastically impact how you react to people. That will improve your job, how you react to negativity in the workplace, how you handle positivity in the workplace. It will improve your marriage. It will improve the way that you deal with kids. And it will improve your overall general health. Because, Lord, we're living in an emotional world, are we not? So what is the cure to emotional imbalance? Well, let's go all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. It says, "Give hear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words that come out of my mouth." Now listen to this. "Let my teaching drop as the rain." Now what does that mean, to drop as the rain? That means to nourish, to allow growth. Okay? So these words will allow growth. It will cause growth like the rain does to the crops. "My speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord." And here is what he is saying right here. This is the premise of emotional balance right here. This is the understanding of emotional balance. This is where we need to start. This is the foundational learning of emotional balance. And this is what it's saying here, right here. Okay? "Ascribe greatness to our God." First things first, God is the greatest. Now you have to believe that in your heart. And here's what I'm saying, because when I say God is the greatest, everybody kind of nods like, yeah, I believe that. But here's the problem with us just nodding and me just saying that. Because what we end up doing in our living is that sometimes we take God and we take the devil and we put them on equal footing. They are not on equal footing. The devil is to be feared, and you are to be protected from the devil, and you are to be aware of the devil and what he can do to your life. But he is not God. He is a created being, and he will be destroyed in the end. Okay? So here's the understanding, is that God is the greatest, and what we're building our lives on is the greatest. Okay? In fact, it says he is the rock. He is the only foundation that you can build on. He is the rock. The wise builder built his house on the rock. And when the waves and the storms and the lightning and the thunder and the earthquakes all came, his house still stood because he was built on the greatest. All right? His works are perfect. And if you allow God to live through you, he will work through you perfection. That's the way that that happens. Okay? So when we give our life away to Jesus Christ, say, "Here's my life, take it, use it for what you want it to be used for," that is a way to instill perfection into your life. And it says, "All his ways are justice." Here is the understanding here. We have to understand that if God's, now listen to this, if God's judgment is perfect, if we trust him in the end to judge the good from the bad, then we have to also believe that his justice is perfect as well. And what he decides is right and wrong is perfect. And we can build a life knowing that he will take care of us, he is the greatest, he will not fail us, and that he will provide perfect justice in all circumstances. It may not be on your timeline or right at the exact moment that you crave it, but it will happen. And God of truth without injustice, there is no injustice with him. He is righteous and upright. Okay? So here's what we need to understand, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now what does this mean? Okay? Now let's take away for what this means. If you want emotional balance in your life, I'm going to give you a secret throughout the ages. Getting ready to lay, as I tell the kids, open up your knowledge basket, because I'm getting ready to drop some knowledge in it, all right? You're supposed to laugh at that. So. Tori's like, oh my gosh. Here it is. I'm getting ready to drop some knowledge. You want some emotional balance in your life? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. It's there. I understand these sermons I give you are magnificent and they blow you away. All right. Yeah. Why are you laughing now? The joke was earlier. Yeah, that's right. Okay. But here's the deal. If all the Bible you're getting is what I'm giving you on Sunday morning, you are so sorely missing out, and you are not getting enough. You're not getting enough. Okay? And here's the fear. Here's the fear. I sell drugs. I sold drugs for a lot of years. Okay? Here's the problem. Right? You ever notice when they give you like an antibiotic and there's like, here's your antibiotic. There's 67 pills in there, okay? You take every one of them. And then when you get like into the 20s, you're like, oh my gosh, how many more of these I got to take? I feel great, okay? I'm not going to take it. Well, here's the problem with that, is that you can build up an immunity to that. If you don't take the way it's prescribed to you, it's dangerous. And you can build up an immunity that's harmful. And the next time you get sick and you need that antibiotic, it doesn't work. And he's like, why doesn't it work? Why doesn't that, you know? It's because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. And here's the deal. If you don't study the Bible, you're going to get an immunity that is a negative immunity in this world. And you're going to get into a habit of relying on the wisdom that comes from the world and from yourself and from your gut and a reaction to how you're feeling and what the emotions are inside of you. And next thing you know, life's out of balance and you can't handle it and you're about to lash out at somebody and you're mad and you don't really know why you're mad. Okay? And that's where a lot of us are right now. And we look around and say, people are mean to me and they're not doing what they need to do for me. And I don't have my friends. What kind of friends are they? You know, and my spouse doesn't take care of me. That was just an example. Okay. My kids are crazy, you know, and nobody loves me and treats me good. And God, where I haven't heard from you, you know, and it's like, yeah, you're in the place where the devil got you to because he made you comfortable and busy. And I'm just telling you that this comes by knowledge from studying the Bible. And church is important. Bible studies are extremely important. But private time, studying the Bible, praying over it, praying about what you read is utter importance. And if you're not doing that, if you are not doing that, you're putting yourself, your family, your kids, and whoever depends on you in a critically dangerous spot. It says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And if you're not in a place to where you can hear and understand and discern what God is talking to you about, then you need to get there. You need to get there through prayer and Bible study and reaching out to people and having a prayer partner and getting involved in Bible studies and just getting that knowledge and understanding of what's in the Bible. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. But here's important, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want emotional balance in your life, it's the answer, the same answer that was in the last series. This isn't rocket science. In fact, you just heard a little bit ago, the simplicity of Christ sometimes works against us. It's so simple. And here's the deal. If you want to make improvements in your life, get more filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here's the caveat that has to be said, is that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got to do that before you can get the Holy Spirit. You have got to do that before you get the Holy Spirit. This is what it says. This is the instruction from John. And this is what he says, beloved, Do not believe every spirit. Okay? Just because someone stands up and says, I'm a preacher, it's like, well, he's speaking the truth because he's a preacher. Okay? I could be wrong. All right? You need to check me. You need to check everything in your life. You wouldn't just take, you know, you just wouldn't do stuff and ingest it and put it in your body or add it to your body, whatever, without knowing what it was. Okay? That's not wise. Smart people don't do that. And it says, but test every spirit. Okay? And you need to find out whether or not they are from God. And you say, well, what's the grading scale? Well, he's going to tell you right here. This is what he tells you. Okay? He says, there's many false prophets out there. And this is how you know that it's from the Spirit of God. This is the grading scale. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If it preaches that Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross for you, that brings you salvation. On the third day he arose because he's God. He now sits at the right hand of the Father because he's God the Son. And the only way to get to heaven and to God is through Jesus Christ and accepting his sacrifice at Calvary. If it doesn't say that, it's not from God. Okay? If it preaches something else, it's not from God. If it stirs up anger and hatred inside of you that's unhealthy, it's not from God. If it causes you to hate somebody else because they're different from you, it's not from God. Okay? If it causes you to react in a very violent way, that's not from God. That is not from God. In fact, it says that every spirit that does not confess these things is not of God. And it says, well, what do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ said that these are the most important commandments. You shall love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your body, mind, spirit, everything. You should love God. Okay, that's the first. And the second is very simply this. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what's the message from God? Listen, if you want to know whether the message is from God, if it's not wrapped around love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, it's not from God. It's not from God. It's from something else. It's not God, but it's not from God. Okay? And here's the other thing that should be in it. It should ask you to give your life up to God for service. And it should be service to glorify God. He says, you want to be great? Make yourself a slave. Serve to the point to where people think that you are a servant and a slave. Do the things that only servant and slaves would do. So if it's not of love and it's not of service for the glory of God, it's not from God. I'm just going to tell you, it's not from God. It's unhealthy. You can accept it. You can get involved in it. You can listen to it all the time. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be struggling with your emotional imbalance. It's just going to happen to you. Okay? And this world that we live in, to where everybody's angry at everybody and they don't even know why, and we're just angry and angry and angry, this is not a healthy world. And what we need to do is to understand that we are Christians and our job is to continue the revolution that Jesus Christ started when he died on the cross. And that revolution is a revolution of love. That is what he said. People have come and conquered the world many times over, and every time you get the world conquered, a new guy comes through and conquers the world, and then another one comes through and conquers the world, and we just reconquering the world over and over again. But Jesus Christ came to conquer the world through love one time and do it. He died, and then he sat down, something a Levitical priest never did. And it was because what he said on the cross, it is finished. Death has been arrested. Your sins, if you accept salvation, are gone. They don't exist anymore. And what we need to understand is that God will take care of you. He is the best. He has what's right in mind for you. He will handle it. He is a God of perfect justice. Chill out. Don't get so riled up and let him do his work. Have faith that he will take care of you. That's the message. Romans says, don't be conformed to this world. Renew your mind. This is the time in the sermon where I say, your job as a Christian, before your feet hit the floor, is to go to the Lord in prayer, say, remove me from me. Get rid of it. Make me an empty vessel. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so I can go out and live appropriately. And then it says that if you crucify the flesh, if you crucify self and all the worry and needs about self, guess what goes away with it? Passions and desires. You will not be subject to your emotions. Because if you live by the Spirit, you will also walk in a spiritual way. That's it. Easy peasy, right? You know what? I don't really want to live in a world where there aren't emotions. We're getting ready to go into the holiday season, and that can be good and bad, okay? Not every situation is great. But let's understand what the Bible teaches us. And let's strive towards having some emotional balance in our lives. Because God is the greatest. And when you stand knowing that He's the greatest and He's going to take care of us, then there's what's to get riled up about? What's to get angry about? He's going to take care of it. And we have to start living lives that show the faith that we have that He will take care of this world. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. We come to the altar for a lot of things. If you've had a rough week and you've had your teeth kicked in, come up and let's pray about it. Let us surround you. Let us lift you up in love. That's what we do here. If you've had a great week and you knocked it out of the park this week, let's come up and let's celebrate about it and give all the glory and the victory to God. If you got something coming up and you're worried about it, let's come up and let's give it, let's lay it off at the altar and give it to God. Say, you take it. The promise is already there. The victory's coming. And if you've never, now listen to me, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never accepted Him as your Savior, then all the stuff that we talked about today doesn't happen until you make that decision. And you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to get the peace that comes and the emotional balance that comes with Him. So come up and let's make the best decision you ever make in your life. I open up the altars to you.